Matthew 27, if you have your Bibles. Again, great to have you with us on this beautiful weekend. And great to see you here. And trust you'll enjoy our service. I'd like to read about the crucifixion this morning. I know this is Resurrection Sunday, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. But I kind of feel to talk about the cross today and share with you a little bit more about the cross. So at Matthew 27 and verse 32. Along the way they came across a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. And they went out to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. The soldiers gave him wine mixed with bitter gall, but when he had tasted it, he refused to drink it. After they nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. And then they sat around and kept guard as he hung there. A sign was fastened above Jesus' head announcing the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "and he can't save himself. So is he the King of Israel? Let him come down from the cross right now and we will believe in him. He trusted God. So let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. The story of the death of Jesus is not a good story to read. It's rather a hard story to read when we realize all that Jesus went through for our behalf. And it's fitting that we would remember this at least once a year, that we would take that time to think of what Jesus Christ has done for us in dying upon that cross. You'll see two crosses that we added to the church. Mac made those for me this week there, and he was telling me they're a little bit heavy. And I kind of thought, no, they're not that heavy until we tried moving them. And they are quite heavy. And I was thinking that as I was carrying that cross. And I said, you know, Jesus' cross would have been way bigger than that. Probably it'd be at least 12 to 13 feet high, I would think, and much larger, wider. And to carry that cross after being beaten would certainly be a feat in itself. So kind of a reminder of just how heavy that cross is. And Jesus says we need to take up our cross and follow him. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about the cross. You know, the cross is a wonderful symbol in our world. We see it all over the world. We see it on a lot of the buildings. Some of us have them on necklaces and things of that nature. Some of us have little crosses at home or on our walls. Well, as you kind of look back at the symbol of the cross, it was kind of interesting. It's in our testimony as well this week if you pick up one of those copies. And in the Roman times, that cross was a symbol of humiliation. It was a symbol of torture. It was a symbol of death, of capital punishment. But in 312, the Roman Emperor Constantine, he brought a new meaning to the cross as a symbol of power. The story goes that Constantine had a dream one night where he saw the sign of the cross, and these words were written on the cross: "In this sign, conquer." And in a battle to control the Roman Empire, he waged war against his brother-in-law, and in doing so, he won the victory. But what was interesting was that from that dream that he had of the cross, he had them paint a cross on all the shields of his soldiers, and that as they marched, they felt the power of the cross. Now, that may not be the real meaning off the cross. There's certainly a much deeper meaning off the cross. But we see there are many symbols off the cross, and it can mean many things to many people. But to me, there's some really important things that this cross represents. And as I was writing them down, I came down with quite a list, and I actually kind of did my message, and then I went home for lunch, and then I came back and I redid my message and threw out all the other part that I'd written before in the morning. I just felt the Lord wanted me to narrow it down to just mention a few things this morning about that cross. As I say, there's many things that we could talk about the cross, but we're just going to talk about maybe five quick ones here this morning. When I look at this cross, it reminds me of salvation. It is a symbol to me of salvation, that Jesus saves. As I see that cross, I think of my Savior. I think of my Lord who died on the cross for my sins and for my salvation. So every time I see a cross, I think of salvation and what Jesus did for me. Philippians 2, 7 and 8 says, instead, Jesus gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. When we think of Jesus coming from heaven, being born of a virgin, really he came to die. He came to die for you and for me that we might be saved, that we might have salvation, that we might be saved from the penalty of sin, which was death, eternal death and destruction. So the cross, it reminds me of the high cost of salvation. I know many of you have seen the movie The Passion by Mel Gibson. A very, very well done. It's not a very good movie to watch. You don't like to see what they're doing to Christ, but it really does depict extremely well exactly what Jesus would have bore at that time. And so as I look at that cross, it reminds me of salvation and the high cost of salvation for me. It also reminds me, as I look at that cross, that truly Jesus is the way, that truly he is the way of salvation. A lot of people like to argue today and say, no, there are many ways to God. And I would remind you that this cross is a symbol to us that tells us that only Jesus did something that no other prophet, no other religious leader, no other God ever did. And that was to go to a cross and pay the price of sin. Only Jesus paid the price of our sin. Why is that price? Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but because of the free gift of God, it's eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So Jesus paid the price of sin, which was death on Calvary. He became our Redeemer, our Savior, our God. And because of that, we look to Him for salvation. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured the cross. As I look at that cross, I think of my salvation, that Jesus came to save us all. Second thing that I see as I look at the cross, I think of the love of God. That God would love us so much that He would indeed send His only begotten Son into this world. And the reason that He did it, the Bible clearly tells us, is because He loved us. When you begin to think about that, it's quite amazing when we in our sin, we in our rebellion, and yet God will look down at us and say, I love you. I love you. Romans 5:8 says, God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So before we ever came searching for a Savior, before we ever came and were saying, you know, I need God in my life, He was already working on our behalf and saying, I want to make a way for you that you can come to me. And it was through that cross that Jesus died on. Jesus loved us undeservingly. Even though we don't deserve His love, He loves us. and loves each one of us. I find it amazing that even though we come to Christ at times and we give our lives to Christ, and then sometimes we fall away, or sometimes we do things that aren't pleasing to Him, and yet we'll always find a loving Savior to come back to. John 3:16, we know that verse. It says, "For God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." Then verse 17 says, "God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him." God loved us so much that He did what no one else would do, and He would become that sacrificial lamb to pay the price of our sin, which was death. That cross reminds me that God loves me. Greater love had no one than to lay down His life for a friend. And that's what Jesus Christ did for you. He loved you enough to go to that cross, to suffer all the shame and all that agony, that you might have life, everlasting life. I look at this cross, and I see healing when I look at this cross. It's a symbol of healing. When Jesus was on the cross, healing was on His mind. I find that so fascinating that He would be thinking about that even as He was on that cross. See, as Jesus was on that cross, He paid the price of sin. He broke the curse of sin. And part of the curse of sin is sicknesses and diseases. And on that cross, He made a way for us that we might experience not just healing of the soul, but also healing of the body. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Jesus personally carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By His wounds, we are healed." That same truth is explained in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. If you have some time, take a look at Isaiah 53 and read through those two chapters in there that talk about the suffering Messiah and all the things that He would experience. One of those verses says this, Isaiah 53:5, "But He was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." Most of us would know that verse a little bit better with the King James rendering, "By His stripes we are healed." It talks about as Jesus was beaten, as Jesus was whipped, He was saying that blood was shed for your healing and my healing. There is healing in the cross of Christ. Something we don't maybe always think about, but when I look at that cross, that's what I see and I think about. Fourthly, as I look at that cross, I see the cross as a symbol of forgiveness, that God forgives sin. As Jesus paid that price for sin, which was death, He met the demands of a holy God, and He was the appropriate sacrifice for sin. Only a sinless, spotless lamb could be offered as a sacrifice for sin. That's who Jesus was. He was the sinless Lamb of God. And He paid it all for you and I. Colossians 1:13, "For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave us our sins." Other translation says, who purchased our freedom with His blood and forgave us our sins. Without that cross, there'd be no forgiveness of sins. We would be still in our sins. That is why we worship Jesus. That is why we look to Jesus for salvation, because only Jesus dealt with the issue of sin and went to the cross for us. Colossians 1:19 to 20 says, "For God in all of His fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Him God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross." See, that blood covers our sins. As Jesus bled upon that cross, that blood was released to cover your sin and my sin. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. So Jesus had to shed his blood for you and I, that our sins could be forgiven. And so this morning, as we look at that cross, maybe there's some things that in your life that you may be saying, you know, I need God to forgive me. There's some things that I've done that have not been very pleasing, I know, to God, and he's been speaking to me about those things. You need to realize this morning, there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ this morning. The cross is a symbol of forgiveness. And then a last one, and we could mention many, many others. I can go and get the rest of my sermon in the back as you want more, but this is the one I felt to end with, that the cross is a symbol of hope. It's a symbol of a new beginning. It's a symbol of a fresh start. Colossians 2, 14 to 15 says, Jesus canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. I like that. Jesus took the charges that were against us, that the devil could accuse us of, and he took those sins and he nailed them to the cross. He goes on to say, in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory on the cross. See, Jesus Christ brought us the victory. Jesus Christ brought us that freedom from sin, for paying for our sin on that cross. And because he did that, he now gives us that opportunity that we continue now to live for him. So there is a hope for our future. Maybe you're here today and there's been some things in your life that have brought you far from God. And maybe you're here today and you feel that you are far from God. But God is always reaching out to us. He loves us. And he wants to give us hope. See, there's hope because there's forgiveness in the cross. There's hope because there's love in the cross. And Christ is wanting to give that to us again, because through the cross, he created a new covenant, was now brought into being because he paid the price of sin. He shed his blood and he brought in a new covenant between God and man that we can approach God. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not just by mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Jesus Christ has brought your freedom from sin. We don't have to live in condemnation. We don't have to live in guilt anymore, because Jesus forgives our sins. He paid the price for our sins. So there's a hope. There's a future for all of us, that we can have a hope that there is a life beyond the life that we have already lived. Those are just some things you can think about when you look at the cross. We could have went and looked at other deeper things, such as that when you look at that cross and Jesus says, well, you're to deny yourself. Constantine said it was a cross of victory. It was a cross of power. And Jesus, when he spoke about the cross, he said that it's a place where you'll deny yourself and come and follow him. And as we conclude this morning, I'm going to ask the musicians to come back to the instruments. You might have seen a little piece of paper that was on your seat when you came in. And you see these papers that are on the wall of your visitor, what we've been doing. We're going to do this until the end of April. We've been asking God for a vision for our community and for our church. And as we get those, we write them on the wall, and we're keeping them up there for 90 days, which will bring us to the end of April. But I really felt, to conclude this service today, to simply talk to you about what that little question is on your paper. What do you need to leave at the cross? I already filled mine out. I filled mine out last night when I was setting these things up. But see, the cross is also a place of death. It's paid for. It's over with. Jesus said as he died on that cross, it is finished. It's over. A lot of times we ask God to forgive us of things and we say it, but we pick it up again. And we go back doing the same things that we've always done, or we find ourselves bound in certain areas of our lives and we've asked God to forgive us, but we just keep picking it back up again. I really felt that the Lord wanted to do something different this morning as we conclude this service, to give you an opportunity that you might come, fill out that piece of paper and say, here are some things that I know that God would want me to leave behind. I don't want to pick up these things anymore. I don't want to be bound to these things anymore. And that you would just come to the cross this morning and lay that piece of paper. There's some people have already done that, I see. And just put that piece of paper at their cross. Make that commitment to the Lord. Lord, I'm leaving this behind. Maybe you're here today, you need healing in your body. You could write on there, I need a healing. And God, when I come up this cross, I want to leave my sickness there. And I don't want to bring it back with me. That's something you can do. Maybe there's some things that are stressing you out right now. A lot of things going on in our world, in our economy. And maybe you just want to come and maybe you want to write something like that down. Just say, I've been really struggling here. I'm really worried, God. I don't want to take that back with me when I leave this church today. So maybe you write that down. Maybe there's an addiction you have that you've been struggling with. And it's been really hard for you, and you've asked God to help you, you've asked God to touch you, and nothing kind of seems to work. Well, maybe you could take that, write that down, and put it there at the cross. Your future. What about my future? What does my future hold? Maybe you're worried about the future. Maybe some people said that you would never accomplish anything in your life. Say, well, I'm not going to carry that with me the rest of my life. That's going to end today. Write that down. So that's what I want to encourage us to do here in a few moments. But I also want you to do something else. That as you come to that cross and you lay that piece of paper down, we're going to destroy them all, so don't worry about what's on there. We'll shred them all after the service. You're not signing your name anyway. But as you do that, I want you to put it there, but then take a step so that others can get there. And just spend a moment and say, Jesus, what would you give me in return? God, what do you want to replace this problem or this difficulty or this situation I've been going through? What do you want to replace it with? And just pause for a moment. If the Lord's going to answer you, he usually answers really quick. Sometimes just the first thought that hits your mind afterwards. And I encourage you to try that. Just simply as you lay that down, to step back a little bit so others can do the same thing, and then just spend a moment or two. It doesn't have to be a long time. And just ask the Lord, what do you want to give me in return? For some, you'll say, I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to take that worry away. And I'm going to give you a peace. For others, you might say, I'm going to bring healing in your life. You might say, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to restore what the locusts have taken from you. What the world and the sin has taken from you, I'm going to restore it. There's going to be that recompense. There's all kinds of things that God can say to you. And I don't want to start trying to say what he would say. I just want you to hear for yourself. And as we close this morning, I know that some people that, you know, we have family and friends, and you got to prepare your meals, and you got to go to certain places and all that kind of stuff. And if you have to go, that's okay for you to slip out as we do this last part. But I would like to welcome you to just come up and try this little exercise. Write down those things. And if you need more paper or your paper's gone, you used it for scrap paper or whatever, there's more paper here at the front of the altar, some more pens, that if you need that. And I would just encourage you just to take a couple of minutes of your time today And as they begin to sing, that you would just come and you would do that. Take a couple moments to pray, and then you go back to your seat, or you can leave if you have to go. Because I believe that God will speak to you this morning. I believe God will say something to you this morning that will surprise you. If you'll do that just simple little exercise. But leave it at the cross. Last night when we were doing this, I asked my wife and my son Christopher if they would help me kind of put these papers out and just pray a little bit more. So they came up, and Kirsten came up, my sister-in-law. And she said, as she was sitting over there, she said, "This reminds me of that hymn, It Is Well." And this is the verse that she talked about. I wrote it down this morning. "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul." Friends, let that, whatever that situation is, people are already doing it. Others of you just feel to do that, you come up and do the same thing. Let it be the death. That when you go up and do that, it doesn't go back with you. It doesn't go back. It's over. It is dead. It is finished. Then allow the Lord just to minister to you. But don't forget to ask Him, "The Lord, what do you want to give me in place of this?" Because the Lord wants to give you something as well. He just doesn't want to take our garbage and our stress and all those other things. He wants to give us some things. Peace, joy, and love. There's lots of things He wants to give. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Bethel Family Worship Center, where families grow